2 Kings chapter 6, verse 24 and verse 25. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria. Now we need to understand the background of these verses. By this time, the nation or the people of Israel have become divided. There's a northern kingdom that's called Judah. Samaria is the capital city of the northern kingdom. And then there's the southern kingdom. And the king of Judah is Ahab. And there's an enemy that has been attacking them, attempting to wreck and to ruin. And that king's name is Ben-Hadad. He's the king of Syria. And this king, at one point, Ahab had him. The Lord had Ben-Hadad exactly where he wanted him. And if Ahab had listened to the Lord and obeyed God, this Ben-Hadad would have been long gone. He would have been history. But Ahab, he thought he was having mercy. He thought he was doing a good thing. He actually was disobeying God. He let Ben-Hadad go, and like all enemies, it returned. That trouble returned. That enemy returned. And now Ben-Hadad has taken his entire army, and has surrounded Samaria. Samaria is the capital city of Judah, like I've already mentioned. So it is a great, important city. Ben-Hadad's desire is to overthrow and to take and to ruin, to win the victory. But in these verses, we find out that he did something unusual. His strategy was different. He didn't just come with an onslaught. He didn't come with weapons drawn. He came and surrounded the city. And what we find here is a perfect picture of our enemy. We find a perfect picture of the devil. Just like Ahab is about to learn, boy, you don't mess with the devil. You don't give him any mercy. You don't give him any leeway. You cannot reckon with the devil. You cannot discuss things. You can't come to terms. You can't compromise with the devil. Because, number one, he'll lie to you, and he'll always get the upper hand if we ever compromise with the devil. The only way we can handle him just like we ought to is he is our enemy, and have no mercy on him and trust God for victory all the time. But Ben-Hadad, sure enough, he's come back. He's attacking again. He's fighting again, and that's exactly how the devil does. He never gives up. He keeps fighting. He keeps attacking. His desire is to wreck and to ruin. His desire is to discourage. His desire is to get us out of God's will. Whatever he has to do, he'll do it to try to get to us who know the Lord. And just like Ben-Hadad, you give him an inch and he'll take a mile. So we need to realize we cannot play games with our enemy, just like Ahab is learning that he cannot mess or play with his enemy. But if you notice in verse 24, notice what it says once again, and it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. Now, notice what he does. The word besiege literally means to bind in. What he did was surround the city and stop there. He was not attacking. There were no spears being thrown. There were no weapons being used. All he did was bring his army and camp out around the city limits of Samaria. And they stopped there, and they surrounded the city. Ben-Hadad meant business. He was not there just to discuss the matter. He was not there just to talk things over. He didn't come by for tea and cookies. He was there for a reason, and this attack was serious. He came and surrounded the city. And so the problem was this. Those inside the city had to stay there. Those who were outside the city who would have wanted to get in the city couldn't. Since the enemy, since Ben-Hadad and the Syrian army had surrounded the city, no one could get out and no one could come in. And what that means for our message tonight is this, neither could any supplies. They could not get in any supplies into the city. And you know what happened. It wasn't long they ran out of everything. They ran out of food in particular. That's the emphasis of the message here and the verses we're reading. So it no doubt this was an attack that was serious. They ran out of supplies. And the result we find of this attack where they just come and camp out, we find in verse 25 to begin with. And there was a great famine in Samaria. Listen, and behold, they besieged it. They just stayed on the outside. They kept surrounding it until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. Can you imagine that? They have no supplies and they're running out of everything. Things have become so dire, they've become so bad, it has gotten to the point to where they'll boil the skull of a donkey and try to make some kind of stew or pick what little bit of flesh there could be off of a donkey's head. But it's so dire that people will pay anything, anything just for something to eat. I mean, they're hungry. They have no food. This attack was serious. It's getting serious. It has become a matter of life or death, for they have next to nothing to eat. And it has gotten to the point to where people who have the money will pay 40 pieces of silver, 80 pieces of silver for a donkey's head. Can you imagine what little nourishment that would be? Can you imagine how vile that would taste? Can you imagine how bad that would be to prepare it and to eat it? But it's even worse than that. For a fourth part of a cab of dove's dung sold for 5 pieces of silver. Ben-Hadad knew what he was doing. Ben-Hadad is accomplishing exactly what he desired and what he planned. He realized, if I can get them hungry, if I can make their food run out, if I can get them to where they have no food, it won't be long. They'll get weak. And a weak enemy is an easy enemy to defeat. He understood the strategy of war. This attack was very strange, but it was very serious, and it seems to be working. Friend, I see in this a picture of our enemy. You know what he tries to get us to do? You know what his attack is? You want to know what his strategy is? He tries to keep us away from the food. He tries to keep us away from the bread of life. He tries to keep us from getting to this book. For the devil knows, our Ben-Hadad knows, if he can keep us away from that book, it won't be long. We'll get weak. And a weak enemy is an enemy, easy enemy to defeat. And that's how the devil attacks us so many times. If you will, he surrounds our lives with so many things. He surrounds our lives with all kinds of obligations and all kinds of recreations and all kinds of people, all kinds of things, all kinds of stuff. And our lives are so full that we don't have time to get to the Word, and we're not eating what we need to eat, and we grow weak spiritually. And I said, Ian, a weak enemy is an easy enemy to defeat. And if Ben-Hadad knew that, certainly the devil knows that. Oh, we need to be careful what we allow in our lives. We need to make sure that nothing's in our life that would keep us from the Word of God. We need to make sure that this Word, this food, is a part of our daily intake. It's because it's so important. The Word of God is just like our food. We need it desperately. Without it, we will be weak. Without it, we will have no joy. Without it, we will have no peace. Without it, we will have no power. Without it, we will doubt and fear and wonder. And the devil knows that, so he does all he can to surround our lives to keep us out of the Word. It was an attack that was serious. A strategy that was working. And the Bible sort of warns us about this. In Amos 8:11, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water." It's not physical. "But of hearing of the word of the Lord." He said, the Lord said, there's a time coming where people won't hear, won't pay attention, won't listen to what the Word says. So it was an attack that was serious. But look in verse 25. "There was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver." My question is this. Who in the world would want dove's dung or a donkey's head to eat? Who in the world would find that appetizing? Who in the world would get to the point to where they thought, boy, I'll be glad, I will give 80 pieces of silver for a donkey's head. I will give 5 pieces of silver for a fourth part of a cab of dove's dung. Who in the world would find these things appetizing? The answer is this: someone who's hungry. You say, no way in the world would I eat that. No way in the world would I eat that. I would starve to death before I ate that. You get hungry enough, you'll eat it. You get hungry enough, you'll eat it. They had gotten to the point to where they're so hungry that money meant nothing. I mean, after all, what good is a big bankroll when you're starving to death? If you're about to die, what good is money in the bank? If you have no food and you're going to die because of it, what good is a fat wallet in your pocket? And they realize the most important thing, listen, here it is, the most important thing is food. Who cares about the other things? The other things will take care of themselves. We need something to eat. We're dying. And they got to the point where a donkey's head looked good. They got to the point to where dove's dung looked appetizing. So I've said, number one, an attack that was serious. Could have mentioned, number two, an appetite that was sickening. I'll be honest, a donkey's head and dove's dung makes me sick just to think about it. I mean, I don't even like gristle or fat. I almost ate a pig's tail one time, and then I saw the lady that was fixing it for us eating one, and I said, thank you, Lord, for helping me to turn that down. But here's some people, they not only do it, they not only eat it, it literally is something they desire. They are so hungry, they want it. That's what hunger will do. You say, I'd never eat that. Well, you haven't been hungry enough. You haven't been that hungry. You get hungry, you'd eat it. You say, I'd never eat that no matter how hungry I got. Well, you get hungry enough and you wait long enough without food, it'll sound good to you too. Because here's my point. A long time without food makes you hungry and your appetite changes. Things that you would say, oh, I'm not sure about this. I almost hesitate to say it, but I probably could get so hungry that even mayonnaise would be tolerable. I don't think I'd ever like it, but I believe I would consume it if that's the only thing I had. I'd have to get real hungry. I know when we went to California, we ran out of money before we even got there. So there was about 3.5 weeks we had no money. And all we got to eat was what people gave us, or excuse me, what we stole. I'm sorry. But for 3 days we had nothing, not one bite. And I'll tell you the truth, I got hungry. But just for 3 days, and as hungry as I was, and tell you the truth, the fellow that was with me finally stole some olives, and we ate olives, and I hate olives, but they tasted pretty good because I was so hungry. And I have no idea how long this besieging went. I had no idea how long this went. But I do know this. They got hungry enough to where even a donkey's head looked good. See what happens when you don't eat. Your appetite changes. That which used to look terrible, that which usually was repulsive, that which usually you would stay away from and say, oh, I would never touch that. When you get hungry enough, it'll look appealing. It'll be what you desire. And see, that's what the devil knows. He knows if he can keep us away from the Word, it will affect our appetite. The things we used to stay away from, the things we used to shun, the things we used to didn't like, oh, you stay away from that Word long enough, you'll get to where you like them. The things of the world, the things of the flesh that we used to stay away from and shun and avoid and not even like, you stay away from the Word, and it affects your appetite. It affects what you desire. It affects us spiritually. It affects our desire. It affects our appetite. It gets to where I just soon watch TV as read the Bible tonight. I hadn't been to Walmart this week. I think I'll go to Walmart instead of going to the revival. I think I'll just save that $5 and not put it in the church offering. When we stay away from the Word, when we neglect the Word, when somehow the devil keeps us out of the Word, our appetite changes. It affects how we think and what we want and what we desire. We'll get to where we enjoy the ball game better than church, the newspaper more than the Word. And we find ourselves liking things that we didn't used to like. All because we let the devil keep us from the Word, keep us the food away from us. So we see, number one, an attack that was serious, and an appetite that was sickening, number two. But then look in verse 26. And as the king of Israel was passing upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, listen, help my lord, O king. And he said, if the Lord do not help thee, whence shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the wine press? And he says, how in the world can I help you? I don't have anything to help you with. Why are you coming to me? I need help myself. How can I help you? But then notice what she says. And the king said unto her, what aileth thee? And she answered, this woman said unto me, give thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, give thy son that we may eat him. And she hath hid her son. Can you imagine that two mamas would get to such a state where they would be willing to kill and boil and eat their own children? These two mamas agree together. they make a contract. One says, you kill your son today and we'll eat him. Tomorrow we'll kill my son and we'll eat him tomorrow. They make an agreement. Could have said it like this. I've tried to magnify an attack that was serious, an appetite that was sickening. Here I see an agreement that was sinful. They agree to do something that you cannot analyze any other way than by saying this. This was sinful. It was ungodly. It was horrible. The agreement they made together was horrible. That's what happens when you get hungry. That's what happens when somebody's starving. That's what happens when somebody stays away from food long enough. I have no idea how in the world they could have gotten so selfish and so cruel, but they did. And I know the reason, even though I don't understand it, I know the reason they were hungry. And friend, I want to tell you something. You stay away from the Word long enough, and that old man inside, that savage, that beast, that varmint inside will start getting stronger. And will override the spiritual desire, override the spiritual intents, override the spiritual commitment to the Lord. I want to tell you, when we miss the food, when we get hungry enough, it affects us. And our old man is a beast. It's a savage. And friend, I want to tell you, when we neglect the Word, that old man strengthens. That old man revitalizes. That old man comes out. I know of people myself who used to walk with God, used to love God. I've seen them pray. I've heard them testify. I'm going witnessed with them. I've seen God use them, but they got out of God's will. And honestly, they lived worse than before they got saved. Because the old man, that beast, that savage took control. And I promise you, you go to those fellows tonight, they may not admit it yet. But you go back and they'll be honest. They'll say somewhere in their life, they started neglecting that Word. Somewhere, the enemy surrounded them. And they kept them out of the book. And they turned into savages. They turned into animals, just like these two mothers did. Look in verse 30. And it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the woman, that he rent his clothes. And he passed by upon the wall. And the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within under his, upon his flesh. It's a false form of repentance. It's not real. It's a show. It's no good. Then he said, God do so and more also to me. If the head of Elisha, the son of the Shaphat, shall stand on him this day. But Elisha sat in his house, and the elders said with him. I'll stop reading there. Will you notice what this king, will you notice what Ahab did? Now the reason for all this is because he has let the enemy go. The reason the enemy is even attacking is because of the sin of Samaria. The sin of God's people. They are getting what they deserve. Elisha, if anything, he would be the last person to blame rightfully. And Ahab, instead of blaming himself, instead of saying, oh, I have failed God, we have failed God, let's repent, he starts blaming the person who's not even at fault. But you see, he's hungry too. And his judgment is blurred also. His way of thinking is flawed also because of the hunger. So could I say it like this? An attack that was serious, an appetite that was sickening, an agreement that was sinful, and number four, an accusation that was stupid. Hope Olivia doesn't hear this. Because we tell her not to say that word. But you know what? It was stupid. Ahab blames Elisha? Are you kidding me? If there's anybody who's tried to warn you about this, it was him. If there's anybody who's tried to keep this from happening, it was him. And now you're blaming him. You don't need to blame him. You need to blame you. An accusation that was stupid. But you see, that's what happens when you get hungry. Your judgment is flawed. Your thinking is blurred. You don't think right when you get hungry. And that's what's going on with Ahab. And that's what happens to us when we let the devil shut the word off from our lives. We start blaming people for things they're not guilty of. We have a flaw in our lives and we look at somebody else and blame them for how we feel or what we're going through. Our judgment, we're critical. We're judgmental. We're harsh. We're hard. That's what happens when we don't have that word, when we miss the food, when we don't eat. Our judgment gets flawed. Many people with sour and judgmental attitudes are that way because they don't get in this word. Many church problems are because a group of people didn't get in the word. And everybody had judgment that were flawed or blurred. And it caused problems that were unnecessary. Let me close. I've tried to mention an attack that was serious, an appetite that was sickening, an agreement that was sinful, an accusation that was stupid. Lastly, an answer that was simple. You know what would have fixed the whole thing? You want me to tell you the answer to the entire problem? I have an answer, and it's simple. I have the way, the solution. It's simple as it can be. All they needed was food. Food would have fixed everything. Food would have strengthened them to where they could have been strengthened and strong and made ready to defeat the enemy. All they needed was food. And so many times the problems we face and the difficulties we endure and the things we go through can be settled if we get back in this word. For God can speak to us. God can help us. God can strengthen us. God can direct us. God can empower us. And God can inform us if we're in the book, if we keep eating. It was an answer that was simple. Long story short, that's exactly what God did. God made the enemy, the Syrians camped around them. He made them think they heard chariots and soldiers coming. God made a noise when there was nothing there, and the enemy ran away. And you know what? They left everything they had behind to where some lepers came out of the city first. And they said, if we sit here, we're going to die. If we go out there, we're going to die. We just will go to the Syrians and throw ourselves on their mercy, and maybe they'll let us live. They go out, and all the Syrians are gone. And there's food here, and treasures here, and weapons here. All they do is eat for a while, and then they go back in. And they bring the supplies in the city. You know what? Food arrives, and the problem settled. And I'm not promising a cure-all. But I'll say this dogmatically. If we ignore this book, we're going to have problems. Overwhelming problems. Unexplainable problems. So we need to get back to the book. That's why Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He said there's more to this life than physical food and clothes and things and stuff. You live by the word. Jeremiah said, I ate his words, and boy, they were sweet. We need to find a regular time every day where we can get in this book and eat it. We need to read it every day. We need to study it. We need to digest it. We need to love it. We need to believe it. We need to apply it to our lives and live it. It'll make a difference. Let's stand together. Thank you for listening tonight.